they can do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, live in Berea for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We have a big show lined up for you today, as we try to always do. Eric Metcalf will join us in the bottom of hour number one. We will now continue our roster breakdown, 1 through 53, ranking the Browns. We're going to get you all the way down to about number 26 or so by the end of today's show from number 44. So a lot of people to get to there. We're going to hear from head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. We're going to hear from quarterback Brian Hoyer, as they both spoke today at a Play 60 event here at the Browns facility. We're going to hear from those guys. Also have some sound from Bill Parcells about the story, whether or not he was asked to come in and run the Cleveland Browns. He has some pretty definitive answers on that. Lots going on. Mike Lombardi being rumored to go to the New England Patriots to accept a job there. Not confirmed yet, but certainly rumored to go there. Lots of stories coming out about the Cleveland Browns and the turmoil in the final days that ultimately led us to the situation that we are in now. But for the time being, for 2 days, we've had some stability, and hopefully that will continue to be the case.
I like that. For 2 days, it has been stable. It sort of feels a little less like the ground is shaking under us than it did starting on Tuesday. But we've had plenty to discuss with that. We're going to have plenty to discuss. And it's interesting, Nathan, and you know, you always want to – I mean, I felt better when in November people were talking about the Browns because of their NFL relevance on the field. It's a whole different thing now, but they are a dominant topic of conversation.
They are.
In the National Football League, I've been getting still many calls from folks around the league, a lot from the media side, but others from clubs, just asking the questions, what's going on there? Some of them check in just on your well-being. They say, okay, what does this mean for you? And I said, well, until I've been told otherwise, I'm doing the show. We're still here. We're still going strong. And, you know, we are hoping for some boredom to set in. And that would be nice to, as you say, just get some stability, just get some days when we aren't in this crisis mode. And it seems like every week since the end of the season, obviously through the 25 days of a head coaching search, then finally getting that done and all the starts and stops seemingly that went through that process, then the coordinator thing, and then what we had happen on Tuesday, every day or at least every week has presented us with a what the hell's going to happen next field. Someone was joking with me today as I walked in to the front door this morning, and I'm going through security, and one of our IT guys, who's a wise guy, said, Vic, you got to sign in. And I looked at him, and I almost did it. And he said, I'm kidding you. And I said, okay, but you never know, day to day, if the rules are changing around here, you know, what's the deal? So fortunately, it was just a joke, but I said, okay. But anyway, I'm glad, because we didn't get a chance. We got. I'm not going to say we got sidetracked. We went in down the track that we had to regarding the news of this team. But I'm glad we're back on this on our 1-53 ranking or 53-1 ranking of roster spots to just get a feel for where these. And there's a method to our madness here. We're going to rank the players that we know exist on this team first. Then we're going to get into our ranking of needs and the priorities of those needs. But we'll put those in order. Then we'll get into who we think can address those needs, both in terms of ranking draft picks, and we'll come up with a consensus of draft choices, our own board, the CBD board, and then a free agency board, just like the real people do.
That's right. So we're going to finish up with the top 10. We're going to get down to the top 10 on Monday. Then next Tuesday, you're going to be doing the show. I will be, unfortunately, out of town, and you'll be going to the combine.
Not unfortunately, you're going to have fun. You're going to do something very cool.
I will be at the Miz's wedding in the Bahamas.
It's a week-long affair.
It is a Tuesday to Saturday affair. Yeah, if you're going out of the country, you know, you got to get a couple days.
So, and I don't even mind if you want to put it in my face, whatever you want to do, but you're going to be in the warmth. You're going to be by palm trees. You're going to be by white sand. It's just going to be beautiful.
Mai Tais
with umbrellas.
Umbrellas. Yes.
You're going to send me photos and things. You're just going to just remind me, and I want you to do this. I just want, because it's going to be, I think it's going to be crappy where I'm going to be here and then in Indianapolis.
Right.
Weather-wise, I mean, not otherwise.
You're going to have a great time.
I just want you to remind me of what you're doing. And I'm gonna get those updates on the show. Your presence is gonna be felt, and then we'll tweet those out on the Browns Daily Twitter account.
Some pictures of me on the water slides. Yeah,
something.
I'm excited about that.
We need to know what Nathan's up to in the frivolity while the rest of us are
working,
trudging, grinding.
But the point was,
yes.
After the combine, after you return from Indianapolis, that'll be the time that we go through the top needs of this team personnel wise as we see it. And then we'll get into our free agency board and then get into our draft board as we get closer to that as well. So a lot to look at, and obviously that is what everybody wants to do. They're moving forward now. Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine, getting on the same page, getting familiar, getting ready to be that unified duo that is going to help get this personnel where it needs to be for this coaching staff so that this team can turn things around. And with all the negative press that's been out there, I'd like everybody to, if you want to read a positive article about the Cleveland Browns, you can go to NFL.com, and there is a column written by Adam Schein, who I actually worked with on that other pregame show on CBS Sports. And his column is Jimmy Haslam's revised Cleveland Browns are no laughingstock, and basically goes through why he thinks this team is actually in much better shape now and why he thinks that the last laugh will be had by the Cleveland Browns when it is all said and done here after this season. So if you're looking for a positive story out there, I think that's one of them, certainly.
Well, yeah, it is for sure by Adam. I think the Peter King piece was interesting. And you could color it negative. You could describe it as something that was unflattering to the team, to say the least. And the line that people took from that and probably kept from that is that, you know, I'd call it a circus, but then that would be an insult to circuses.
It was a little over the top.
Because the piece, though, what I liked about the piece was that it gave the background of everything that led up to what we saw Tuesday, and it was pretty comprehensive, and based on what I know, pretty darn accurate. And I wouldn't, you know, I have to say, first of all, when Peter writes something, when Peter reports on something, and as long as I've known Peter, and we go back in this business pretty much from the beginning. I started a little earlier than he did, but we came up together through the ranks. And he is an impeccable reporter, a thorough guy. And I, at one point, I was a correspondent of his when I was covering the Bills. I was one of the people that gave him regular Bills updates information for his national collection of stuff, and did that for a lot of years, even before Peter was the NFL writer, and got to work closely with him through that. So I know how thorough and diligent he is. I also know that Jimmy Haslam and Peter made it clear in referencing it anecdotally. You know, Haslam was on the way to here when he was calling me back, and Jimmy had actually said to me on Tuesday, he says, I'm going to be calling Peter later today, returning a call to Peter King, and he didn't tell me what he was going to say to the guy, but when you return that call, you're probably going to open up. You're probably going to let them know some things. And I think that story relied heavily in one form or another, whether it was direct quotes from Haslam or the background that he had. But he had the right guy giving him the right rundown, because that's similar to what I understood things to be that unfolded and that led to the decision on Tuesday to let Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi go.
And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again today. Whether it is right or wrong, whether it is fair or it is unfair, the fact of the matter that has become clear is that the tandem of Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi was going to be a hindrance to this operation as a football program moving forward, whether it be in re-signing free agents of the Cleveland Browns, whether it be going forward and signing other free agents, whether it be coaches. It seemed that the perception of those two guys around the league was toxic, and the Browns were maybe going to have to change their logo to a radioactive symbol, has been suggested by some on Twitter, including our guy Brandon King. So it's, to me, it had to be done. And I thought it was very interesting that yesterday I asked John Clayton, not knowing what he would say, basically, do you feel that the Browns have done anything that's put them in a worse situation now than they would have been had they made none of these changes, or had they just changed Rob Chudzinski? And he said no. He basically said they're not in a worse position. Do I know that they're in a better position? No, he didn't know that either.
Right.
But I do believe that, you know, I know that there's an – and again, it's going to be with any change, there's going to be energy. But I've heard from people who have been so invigorated by what they've heard on the football side of things since Ray Farmer's taken over that there is a very positive buzz about Ray Farmer. And that is something that you could say you're being a homer. That's coming from everywhere. In terms of the buzz on Ray Farmer, that is one of the things that is he's universally being praised as somebody who people think is a very bright young football mind and certainly ready for the job at hand.
The credibility boost that the Browns can get from this starts with Jimmy Haslam in terms of how he allows Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine, Alex Shiner to do their jobs. And if they are empowered to function in ways that demonstrate to everyone on the outside that they're competent, that they're knowledgeable, that you know, people who had there are people that had been in this, well, except for Pettine. I mean, there were people who were in this building, Farmer and Shiner, who were operating under the directives of Joe Banner, carrying out a vision that he had. If they're allowed to establish their own view of things, and obviously one that would agree with what Haslam wants done, I think that's a real boost to credibility.
Yeah.
That's what's being looked at right now.
That's
what
the
outside. That's what the partnerships, the you know, people in town are looking at, the fan base, of course, but the people who do business with the Browns, either in terms of sponsorship or people who do business from a football standpoint, are looking at. And from Mike Pettine's standpoint too, he's been impressive. He's from all that we're hearing internally, the meetings that are going on. His voice, his input has been strong. He recognizes that he's not just waiting to be told what to do from a football standpoint. He's now in that room saying, this is what we need done to be a successful football team. This is what I know works in applying those best practices and bringing that up. And so far, and it's early, there seems to be a synergy developing, strong one, between Farmer and Pettine. That's the only way this thing can work.
You're exactly right, and I think you're also right about allowing Alex Shiner and allowing Ray Farmer to do their thing. You've empowered them to have these roles. Let them do their thing. And I think that the Browns now are a youthful organization. They're one of the youngest teams on the field. They're a youthful organization up at the top, and now it's time for these people to take their aggressive, innovative visions and make it work. And that is the only way, as you said, that it will work. And I think, though, the fact that it has been a stated priority now, and we're going to hear from Coach Pettine later on, that to get on the same page for those two is already a departure from what we had last year in training.
Yeah.
There was never a stated desire for Mike Lombardi and Rob Chudzinski to be on the same page and work hand in hand. That was never even put out there.
It wasn't put out there, and by most accounts that I can provide with my own eyes and ears, I didn't see it happening. I'm not going to say I saw the opposite of that necessarily,
right,
but it didn't look like it was an embracing of two men, two professionals embracing a common idea of how to make a team succeed. I thought, first of all, that Rob, as a first-year head coach, was very much, understandably, caught up in all the practice structure, putting all his methods, all the style of what they were going to do things in place and trying to operate like that. While I think Mike Lombardi and the personnel staff did a lot of observing of that, I'm talking about training camp now, but not necessarily figuring out like, okay, on this given day, you've got to, this is where I think we're weak. This is what we need to do. It seemed to me like it was more after the fact review. It was more like Michael looking at it and saying, not sure I'm good with that position, not sure I'm good with that position, really not sure about that position and this position and this position. And meanwhile, the head coach is there. He's got to coach what's there.
Right.
So if you've got things that you felt weren't either fall short of what's going to be up to snuff, you got to do something about that right away. You've
right.
got to like talk about that and figure that out right away. I know finding solutions in August isn't the time that you find your best solutions, but I got the feeling those conversations weren't happening, and they needed to happen.
They did need to happen, and I think part of it goes back to the fact that there clearly was a disconnect between those coaches and the front office last year about what they were playing for. I think it was purported that it was a long-term vision, and everything done from the front office standpoint pointed to this year. And the truth be told, whatever, if you guys want are happy that Banner and Lombardi are gone, that's fine. The setup for this season is about as good a setup as an organization could have. It was their setup. Third most money under the cap, the 10 draft picks, the 2 first-rounders, you know, all of that has come to be for this offseason, and now the keys have been handed over. There's a new driver on that train. But the reason that there is optimism here for the Browns is not just the change, but also the setup that has been put in place by those guys for this team. And now it's up to Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine, to execute on that on the field and deliver the wins that everybody wants. We want to hear from you guys too, because to us, getting Pettine and getting Ray Farmer on the same page and those two guys getting together, and I know they've spent a ton of time since this announcement has gone down, that's one of the most important things to me. What's the most important thing that you want to see from the Browns coming up here from you guys? Let us know. 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns_daily.
Yeah, I would just put this out there with those calls that what I want to hear is, what do you want to hear from and see from this organization? We know you want to say, we want wins. That's all we want, are wins. I know that's a simple answer, but
sure.
I want it to be a little deeper than that. You had a setup before where you didn't like most of what you heard and how it was said by Joe Banner, and of course you never heard from or saw Michael Lombardi. So what is it now from Ray Farmer, from Mike Pettine? What are the messages you want to have out there? And we are going to have some sound from Mike Pettine during the course of the show.
Yeah, and Brian Hoyer as well. Where does Brian Hoyer stand now? Michael Lombardi was his biggest supporter in this building. Where does he stand? We'll tell you where we think he stands when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.